A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who was haunting the furniture store? Was it the woman who was murdered on the site? Or was it her killer who was executed for her murder?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show, you'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber if you do it through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Harper, how are you, girl?
Hello, 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 hello. I'm very, very good.
I'm excited to talk about this story.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Is it the killer or is it the victim? Today we find out on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Or do we? Or do we just make a guess about who we might think it is?
Let's make a guess.
Or was it the ghost of somebody who used to manage the furniture store?
You'll never know.
Yes, exactly. It's a cool story, though. And they
sent. I'm excited.
And not only that, I got to paste this into my browser because they sent a link. So I want to have this link so we can discuss what's in this link. Okay.
Let's discuss what's in this link.
Let's discuss what's in the story first. Hold on just a second. Here it is. Okay, here you go. It says, "Hi guys, I recently discovered your show and I love it. Here is something that I experienced about 6 years ago. I was working at a popular furniture store chain in the Texas Hill Country, which is beautiful, by the way. I was hired in August, and when Halloween was getting closer, one of the older employees warned me about strange things that could happen to me while I was working there. She told me that in the 70s, there used to be an old drive-in movie theater where the furniture store and strip mall now sits. She said that a young woman who used to work at the ticket booth was attacked by a man who beat her down with a tire tool. I'm going to guess like a tire iron. Then cut her throat and piled everything in the booth on top of her and set it on fire." So the next part is where when I read this story the first time, I'm like, okay, this is some weird urban legend. Because the next sentence says, "Then while the booth was on fire, he started selling tickets to people coming into the show. Then he gets into her car, drives it into the movie, and is sitting there watching the movie when the police and fire truck arrive. Well, me being a skeptic, I didn't believe her." So that's interesting because when I read that much of the story, it doesn't seem like he's still selling tickets. Was anybody like, why is the ticket booth on fire? Shouldn't you worry about putting that out rather than says the drive-in still going on tonight? Questions. I just think that's so weird. So she says, "Me being the skeptic, I didn't really believe her. So I Googled it online and sure enough, she was telling the truth. There was an old drive-in movie theater at the time, and I found an article about the man who did it. And it turns out he was on death row and was executed in the 80s for his crime. The report went on to say that the poor woman was still alive when he set her on fire." Oh my God. "I was a little freaked out about this for days, but later I kind of forgot about it." I don't think I ever could. I did hear in the story. I think I'll always remember her. "Time went by, Halloween came and went, and nothing happened. Then winter moved in. One night, I was busy helping a customer, running back and forth, looking for things for her, when suddenly I heard my name whispered in my ear very clearly. I turned around and looked, and no one was around me. The customer I was helping was on the other side of the store. I thought that it was a little weird, but still tried to explain it away as my imagination or something. I could see that, like, I didn't really hear that. I thought I heard that. Did I hear that? I don't know."
Yeah.
I could see you doing that because I've heard my name right behind me before. And it's like, I don't know where that came from. What was that?
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. It is disturbing, but you know, you're working. You got furniture to sell. Another night, it was just me and another girl working. The store was empty as it was close to closing time, so we were standing by the register talking. Suddenly, we heard a glass shatter. We both went in the direction of the noise to investigate, but found no broken glass on the floor. We were a little puzzled as to how we both heard the sound, but we didn't see any broken glass anywhere. Then I spotted it. It was a martini glass sitting on the shelf. At first glance, it looked like it was still in one piece, but I picked it up and I saw that just the top of the glass had been broken. It was cut in a perfect circle, just the top rim of the glass. Now, I don't know how that could happen. How the top rim of the glass comes off and nothing else? Like, usually when you break a glass, it shatters and there's never a clean break. Not like...
No, but I almost kind of wonder if it's, like, something to do with, like if... If, like specifically, like, the top rim of the glass is, like, thinner, so it's more easy to break, like...
And on a martini glass, usually on a martini glass, the rim part is slightly thicker because they're... A lot of times, they're kind of fragile glasses. You can get some pretty cheap martini glasses that break pretty easily. I just don't know how that would happen. And yeah. I also think it's weird that they heard glass shatter. So even if it was just that part coming off, it wouldn't really be shattering glass that you would have heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It seems it's all weird. It's a haunted furniture store. She said it was the weirdest thing I had ever seen. We were both a little freaked out by this and closed the store and got out of there as fast as we could. I'd have done the same thing. About a couple of months later,
I would have stayed and investigated.
You would have stuck around. It's like, oh, leave, coworker. I'll just stay here by myself. This is getting good.
Yep.
That would be you. About a couple months later, a group of us had come in early in the morning. It was about 5 a.m. to move some furniture around and set up a new display for spring. Me and another girl were there first, so we went inside. We were really sleepy still since it was so early, so we stood around talking for a little bit about how we were going to do this. We started walking around the area, and we walked up on a display that had been... this should read, we had walked up upon a display that had been totally wrecked.
Ooh.
It was a display of fancy paper napkins and paper decorations, like for a picnic. It looked like someone had come by and hit the display really hard, smacking everything off. Items were scattered everywhere, all over the floor surrounding it. We were both shocked because we always made sure the store was straightened before we left for the night, so we couldn't understand how this happened. And that's so true. Like, when you work at a place like that, retail or restaurant, you always pick it up. You know, you've got people coming in, and the last person there always straightens it up for the people in the morning. So you would see that. Mm-hmm. While we were cleaning up the mess, we heard a loud bang, bang, bang. It sounded like it was banging on the ceiling and heading towards the back office. She was so freaked out that she yelled, "Forget this, I'm leaving right now." We were quite freaked out and looking at each other with our eyes wide open. Just then, some more of the employees started to show up that were going to help us, and we just started working and didn't tell any of them about what we had just experienced, and nothing else happened that day. Later, I told a couple of the ladies who had worked there for many years about these experiences, and they also said they'd had their name whispered to them. Another girl said that an evil spirit actually followed her to her car and drove home with her and stayed at her house for a while. She said that it would go into her baby's room and he would wake up screaming. When she went in to check on him, she saw a black shadow figure in the corner that would disappear after she walked in. She finally had her house blessed by a man from her church, and the, in quotes, thing left. I didn't have any more experiences after that. Then a few months later, I quit for other reasons, but I will never forget working there. Thank you for sharing my story. Keep the stories coming. So
that's creepy.
The thing is, it doesn't feel to me like whatever's going on there was loving and kind.
Exactly.
But she did send a link. So I looked at it, and this is from the New York Times. And this goes back to 1986, August 21st. And it says a Texas man was executed early this morning by lethal injection for beating, slashing, and burning to death a woman at a drive-in movie theater where she worked. So it really did happen. And then in his final statement, he said, I'd like to say goodbye to my family. I love all of them. I'd like to tell the people fighting against the death penalty to continue their work. I'd like to say I'm sorry for the victim and family. I wish there was something I could do to make it right. So they really did execute him for that crime. He was a drug addict at the time. And he said, my whole complaint is that I'm being executed for a crime I can't remember committing. I was flipped out on drugs. I don't know what's supposed to be done with me. I don't know whether I deserve a life sentence. I feel death is a little severe for something that was a mistake.
I'm sorry, you beat, slashed, and killed a woman.
And he was high on Valium and malt liquor when he killed her on June 16th, 1979. He says, they said I beat this woman down with a tire tool, cut her throat, then I piled everything in the booth on top of her and I set it on fire. Then while this booth is on fire, I'm sitting there selling tickets to people coming into the show. Then I get in her car. It's like that I get her in her car and drive in, get in her car and drive inside the show, and I'm still sitting inside the car. When the cops got there, it's obvious I was out of my mind. You know, so it's interesting. Everything she said in that story is in this New York Times article. But you know what? It also kind of, this would be a person who would have passed away very traumatically, lots of trauma with that death. And he wasn't okay with it. He doesn't feel it was right. I'm going to guess he was angry about it. Maybe there's unfinished business. I just think, if there was ever someone who would be lingering here in spirit form, it would be someone like him.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because he doesn't remember it. And I'm kind of, you know, in a way, I don't think he gets a pass by any means. But it's interesting, you know, he doesn't remember doing it. I'm just like, who are these people who are buying the tickets to get in the drive-in with a ticket booth on fire?
Exactly.
Who are you standing here taking my money? Like, did you call this in? Is anybody coming? You know, that was way before cell phones. You know, does somebody need to leave and go find a payphone and call 911? I just think that's so, the whole story is so interesting to me. But it happened on the site of that furniture store. So I don't know. What do you think? Could it be him connected? It could be something totally not connected to this story at all, too.
I feel like it's him.
Think it is?
Yeah.
Because it does feel dark. And then it was interesting, though, at the end. She's like, and then nothing happened for, you know, after that. So what was it? I don't know. I think that's an interesting story. And I love it when people send the clips so then we can read the story of what really happened.
Yeah.
I always love that, too. So here, we've got one more story. It says, my name is Nez, and I currently live in Sydney, Australia. I'm a new listener. I love your podcast. I listen while I'm at work because I can't listen to them at night. I would never get to sleep. Me either. I would keep myself awake all night. So I'm originally from Perth in Western Australia. This story is about my aunt's house in Perth. My aunt and uncle separated when I was very young. At the beginning of high school, I was in year 8. She moved into this quiet street in a very nice suburb. It was a simple home with 3 bedrooms, lots of living space, and a large outdoor area and backyard. It would have been a great new space for them after the bad split, so my aunt moved in with my 3 cousins. I was very close with my cousins as we grew up together. I was over almost every weekend. I went to the same high school as them, so I would also visit after school on certain days. They lived at this address for many years, so in the beginning, I guess nothing really stood out as creepy to me. The only thing is at night, the house would make you feel uneasy in certain areas like the kitchen and the dining room. This had large open windows overlooking the outdoor area, in the backyard. Time went on, and my cousins started getting the idea that the house was haunted. They would tell each other stories about their experiences they were having in the house. Things that would happen that freaked them out, like my eldest cousin one day showed me a trick that he believed the entity in the house would do. When you sit in the lounge, the door to the main bedroom can be seen while sitting on the couch. The door was always opened or slightly ajar. My cousin would say, "Okay, now see how I'm closing this door?" Then he would force the door closed. The carpet was a plush, wool-like carpet, so the door always had to be pushed closed or it would never close on its own. You know how that works sometimes with carpeting, especially in old houses, the carpet isn't quite right for the house and you really can't push the door. And then you see the mark the door leaves. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? So after he closed it, we would watch some TV, and then later we would look over and the door would be open. He said to me he could make it happen regularly, and it was rather frightening as a kid. But my experience was the last night I ever spent in that house. It would have been 5 years after they moved in, and one night, on a Friday night, we were all over. My eldest cousin had friends over because they were off to the beach early in the morning. At about 3 a.m., he woke me up so I could move my car from behind him so he could drive out. I did so and slowly made my way back into my cousin's bedroom afterwards. I laid back down and was still awake when I heard running coming up the driveway. It was concrete and this was heavy running, so I assumed he had forgotten something. I almost stood up to let him in when I heard the metal screen door flung open and it hit the stopper like someone was rushing to get in. I stopped suddenly as it felt like something was wrong. Then I heard the front door open and then three other doors in the house open and shut at the same time. That would freak me out.
Yeah, that would definitely be pretty freaky.
Pretty freaky. By this moment, I knew it was the entity in the house and I was finally experiencing it. The footsteps came up to the door of the bedroom. My cousin hung a small wind chime from the door handle as she was already aware of the entity before and wanted to be woken up if it was to open the door. The entity pushed a heavy weight against the door and the chimes moved. Would you do that? Like, if you thought your house was haunted, would you feel more safe knowing an entity was going to walk in and you're awake and ready for it? Or would you be hoping maybe I could just sleep through it?
I would be like, I'm just going to sleep through it, bud. You do you.
I don't need the chimes on the door because there's nothing you could do either.
Exactly.
I just don't know that I would feel secure. Because, you know, my other problem would be this. I would be laying there all night, not being able to fall asleep, thinking, are those chimes going to go off? Are the chimes going to go off? What if the chimes start? I would do that to myself. That's the way I am.
Yeah, I would do that too.
So it says, at this point, I was utterly terrified, and I could not move or scream out of pure fear. The pushing against the door was occurring once every couple minutes. Then it slowed down, maybe once every 5 minutes, but it didn't stop. You knew it was evil, but I wasn't sure if it wanted to come in and scare me or to just let me know it was there, as this was the first time I had experienced anything since the door incident a few years ago. I couldn't sleep. It kept going. I was so frightened I couldn't do and didn't do anything or scream or say anything. The sun started rising close to 5 a.m. and it finally stopped. Because I was so tired, I fell asleep the moment I noticed it had stopped. When I woke up, I told my aunt and cousins about my ordeal and promised I would never sleep there again, and to this day, I have not. After that, the family got together and we all spoke about our experiences. Each with their own distinct experience with this entity. We concluded that it was not a positive entity as none of our experiences were of a positive nature, although none of us were ever hurt. They moved out, and we still talk about the things that would go on in that house. Thank you for listening to my story. Thanks for the great show and keeping up the work. Cheers, Nez. So that wasn't a Casper story at all.
Oh, it's definitely not a Casper story.
No.
This is more like the nun story.
It's definitely something that's trying to scare you.
Yeah.
You know, because it would just keep doing that all night. And I'm telling you what, at 5 a.m., when it stopped and the sun came up, I'd have been like, whoop, get me in my car. I am heading home.
Bye, y'all. I'm leaving.
I love you all. Let's talk about this experience at Applebee's, if they have them in Australia or whatever their equivalent of Applebee's is.
Someplace. Maybe the Outback.
Yeah, Outback. Don't you suppose they don't have them in Australia? I don't know.
Well, the Outback is an Australian.
I know, which is that exactly why it makes me think they wouldn't be there. Because they're really not Australian
what
at all.
What logic is that?
Because we Americanize it and we like to think we're visiting an Australian restaurant.
Well, maybe they've made it. Well, maybe it's more Australian in Australia.
Let's find out. I'm going to Google this.
The Outback has like a really good French onion soup.
They have Outback. Oh, somebody's already done that. It popped up already. They do.
Told you.
Anyways, so they could go there and talk about it. Yeah, that would be, and I don't think it would be haunted. But I just think it's interesting that everybody had experiences like that, similar experiences. And just because it didn't physically hurt you doesn't mean it wasn't a mean spirit.
Yeah.
That would scare the crap out of me.
Now that one I would be fairly scared of.
But the wind chimes thing, not for me.
I can't do wind chimes. Wind chimes just make it worse.
You know, because after my dog died, and it's the sweetest present, somebody gave me wind chimes, and it was like it had Buddy's name on the wind chimes. They're really pretty, really, really sweet. And it's like every time you hear these, you know, it's your dog, and it had this beautiful poem with it. I couldn't bring myself to put up those wind chimes for like a year because I'm like, okay, all I'm going to do is sit in the living room by my back patio thinking, oh, my dog again. Oh, my dog. I'm like, I need to get past this point of constantly being reminded. So now it's a sweeter memory. But yeah. No, to use them for just in case the dark entity wants to come in my room, I just don't know that I would ever sleep. So
to me, wind chimes are just creepy.
So none at all for you? You don't think it's a beautiful sound?
No, I think it's horrifying.
Really?
There's just something so eerie about wind chimes.
I got a tip for you. Never put them on your door to awaken you before a dark entity comes in. Just
well, yeah, no, duh.
Oh, you. I love you. If you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. So call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.